Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director from InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could all join us to talk about transforming your business with web-to-print technology. I'm delighted today to be joined by Pam Young. She's a Director of Print E-Commerce at FP Horak. And what we're going to be doing today is really spending some time with you sharing strategies that work for web-to-print. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just give you a few tips for successfully enjoying this webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, all you need to do is let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button below. Make sure that you disable pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF version of this presentation by clicking the Download Slides button. And if you like what you're seeing or you're hearing, you can tell your peers by using the Invite a Colleague button, or you can let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. In addition, we'll be taking questions throughout the webinar today. And all you have to do is submit your questions via the Ask a Question box. And finally, this event can be viewed on demand for the next 90 days. With that as a backdrop, let's get started. We're going to be talking about what I consider to be the future of the graphic communications industry, and that's e-enabling your business. I'm going to kick the webinar off by spending some time talking about e-enablement in the graphic communications industry and the value chain for the future. I'm going to talk about the market opportunity, evolving business models, and then what you're going to hear is Pam share how they've evolved their business at FP Horak. We'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions and any outstanding questions that you all might have. Now, when we think about the Internet today, I tell people that it really has changed everything in terms of the way we live our life. It's had an impact on the way we work, play, travel, communicate, and ultimately how print service providers are running their business. In the graphic arts market, e-enablement is historically related to the marketing, buying, and production of printed material. And it's brought tremendous change in the long-established graphic communication value chain. Today, we're seeing a lot of exciting proof points ranging from people procuring print like business cards, stationery, and sales collaterals, all the way through to book on-demand buying for organizations like Amazon.com. The other thing that's happening, though, is as we look at the market, what we're seeing are dramatic changes that are taking web-enabled technology even further. We're seeing people leverage web-based solutions to increase automation, to automate marketing programs, and to improve customer services efficiency. Basically, what they're doing is they're using the Internet to take cost out, enhance turnaround time, quality, and currency of printed material, as well as integrate into the higher value marketing chains. And so what I think you're seeing is that the Internet truly is changing the way that printers do business. And I tell people, think about it for just a minute. I don't know how many of you online have sons or daughters, but I will tell you that everybody out there is connected. In fact, when you sit down and you look at the number of global Internet users, it will surpass the 2 billion mark before the end of 2010. And more than half, or 1.2 billion citizens, are of developing countries. So what it says is everybody out there is connected, from the college student to your kids to you and I who are listening to this webinar today. Now, we've heard a lot of different terms for e-enablement. It ranges from a web storefront to print e-procurement to online printing to print e-catalogs to multi-channel web-based services. I think the biggest thing that we've got to look at when we think about the Internet in our businesses is that it is the entry point for migration into the world of marketing services. And what we're seeing is actually a transformation driven by the Internet. And when it first got started, what we saw was that the systems that were available were really focused on increasing transactions over the Internet. Today, what we're seeing is that the tools that are available through either server-based solutions or cloud computing are focused on the control of much more complex business processes. If you think about it, if you're a print service provider today, I can do everything from automating my plant operation to delivering multi-channel marketing communication solutions that include templates for email. I can incorporate SMS texting. And so that modification, that change has gone from transaction through actually being able to automate key business processes via the Internet. Now, I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about what's happened relative to software solutions in the marketplace. And what you're seeing on this next slide is part of InfoTrend's forecast data. And what we saw was that 2010 was a much better year for software. And in fact, we went out and we surveyed more than 400 print service providers, and what we found out was that they were increasing investments in three key areas were variable data, web to print, and multi-channel communications. What we're seeing, by the way, is that these three applications are becoming more and more tightly integrated. And what you think when you think about the market, what you're also seeing is growth in terms of our forecast data on the purchases of customized communication solutions. And while off of a very small base, our projection is that multi-channel communications sales will grow at a 22.3% compound annual growth rate, print e-business at 7.5%, transactional and variable data solutions at 8.5%, and graphic arts variable data at 9%. And so the real growth in terms of where companies are going to be buying software solutions is going to be in customized communications. Now, the other thing that we're seeing is growth in terms of what we call hosted or software as a service models. And what that really means is that you as a print service provider can rent the infrastructure as opposed to investing in IT servers, staffing, and you can use a hosted model. When you look around the marketplace today, the majority of the vendors in the market are in fact offering hosted solutions. It can be XMPI, Printable, Mindfire, any number of vendors that are making their tools available via the Internet. Now, if you look at this next slide, what you'll see is that the preponderance of hosted-based solutions is really in that area of multi-channel communications and e-business. And that's really where the growth in the market is taking place. This next slide looks at what's gone on in the market in terms of print e-business. What we saw, and I think we all recognize, is the fact that 2009 was a tough year and people retrenched on all investments. But what we're seeing is good growth in print e-business. The logic behind it is that everybody's looking for that web-enabled, just-in-time manufacturing, and it's becoming a necessity in today's market. The barriers to entry are low now. There are very, very affordable solutions out there. This migration to software as a service models for print e-business has meant that you have to, if you're a service provider, invest a lot less in terms of infrastructure, and we're seeing good integration with cross-media and workflow solutions. The next slide talks about what we're seeing in the variable data marketplace. Again, something that's being web-enabled. We saw a decline in 2009, but we're going to start to see good growth moving forward, and projections are a 9% compound annual growth drive, growth curve. What you're seeing in the driver side of that is, quite honestly, the marketing executive who wants to make sure that he or she is doing a good job at very, very targeted messaging for their customer base. You're seeing integration with print e-business. You're seeing desktop to server upgrades, and they're incorporating not just variable data, but they're actually moving into automating that marketing process. And the marketing department clearly wants that message to go out to the consumer where he demonstrates or she demonstrates that they know that consumer well with a customized message. The next area is that whole area of multi-channel communications, and that's where it's the only area where we saw growth in 2009 in terms of software acquisition, and in fact, it posted a 15.1% growth in terms of software sales in 2009. Now, the drivers for this are really changing consumer behaviors, where I need to be able to communicate with that consumer in any channel they want to be communicated with. It could be mobile, print, online, social, and the tools for multi-channel communications are enabling all of that. All the vendors out there have embraced software as a service models, and they're making the implementation affordable. When that marketer has been challenged with marketing spend, they need good measurement, response, and tracking. These multi-channel tools that are available in the market today have, in fact, provided good measurement, response, tracking mechanisms as part of the overall solution. The adoption rate, and we do forecasts at InfoTrends on a global basis, is actually highest in the U.S. market, but we see others following. Now, all of that being said, what we're also seeing is tremendous opportunity for print service providers through web enablement. And if you want, think about it, if you're that corporate buyer, the benefits are clear. From a corporate buyer perspective, what they're looking for is a partner that will give them increased efficiencies as a result of e-enabled procurement. The experience has proven this out. First of all, what a buyer sees are lower printing costs because they're printing less and they're only printing what they need. Turnaround times by streamlining the order entry process are reduced. They can track much more effectively purchases and make sure that there's compliance relative to the individuals that are part of the organization and controlling print spend. There's reduced inventory obsolescence. It eliminates rekeying of information on paper requisitions. You're seeing reduced costs associated with purchase order processing. There's reductions in purchasing errors and rework. I don't need to send out anything in the mail in terms of a purchase order. And what they're also telling us is that when I do repeat orders of something I previously ordered, I have double-digit savings in terms of the actual procurement cost. The other piece that corporate print buyers talk about is that to the extent that I then integrate these portals with other systems, whether it's CRM or ERP systems, I incur even further savings. Now, from a print service provider perspective, there's also good reason to get in the game. Manufacturing Automation magazine did a study and this past year on the internet as the engine for manufacturers' growth. And one of the key comments they made is that the industrial manufacturing sector is leading the U.S. economy out of recession on the strength of a number of key growth strategies, selling into new industries, innovating to develop products and services, and leveraging the internet to pick up the pace of business are the top growth drivers. What was interesting is of the more than 1,000 respondents, 71% said that their online strategy would be important or critical. The bottom line is that the internet has become absolutely pivotal at this stage in the recovery of the economy. Now, InfoTrends did a study on e-enabling businesses and what the implications were for print service providers. We surveyed more than 200 print service providers, and what was interesting, and I think Pam will share this with you in terms of the business impact at the HORAC, but 60% indicated that web-enabled services improved their revenue. There was an average of 8.1% in terms of increased revenue. 25% reported more than 10% revenue growth. The other piece that was important is that 54% indicated margin and volume improvements. Now, that margin improvement is linked to the ability to more affordably get orders in and out of the shop. In addition, what we found in a lot of instances was that the customer service costs went down dramatically. And 60% said that the web-enabled services were more or equally profitable versus any other services that they'd offered. Now, I want to spend just a couple minutes talking about the application side of the market. First of all, what you find out is that applications abound. E-enablement really started with some of the more corporate identity-oriented products. It was business cards, stationery, and letterhead. And that's really the most mature e-enabled product today. There are other applications that were not far behind. That includes things like postcards, marketing collaterals, proofs, direct mail. But ultimately, what we're going to see is that that initial investment in web to print is becoming integral into what we see as the future of the Internet, which is web to everything. We're seeing the Internet have implications in both the business-to-consumer and business-to-business marketplace. I tell folks, think about companies like Vistaprint, who 10 years ago didn't exist, and this year will again be one of the fastest-growing printers on the globe. And then I don't know about you, but I tell folks, I think about what I did and what I purchased this Christmas. And in a tough economy, what we saw were companies like Shutterfly doing a great job at generating revenue. Why? Well, they're printing those photo books, greeting cards, and offering a full array of business-to-consumer products. The other thing that we're seeing are the emergence of what I'll categorize as automated and integrated marketing services driven by the Internet. I give people some very interesting examples. For instance, there's a company called Demandforce, www.demandforce.com. And what they've done is they've basically built out automated marketing services via the web to support groups like dental offices, hair salons, auto maintenance. The system itself has automated tools driven by the Internet so that that dentist can send a reminder via print or SMS text, and, oh, by the way, then trigger appointment reminders so that you're going in for your regular cleaning of your teeth. Or in my case, if I'm a salon, I can send reminders out to people like Barb Pello, who know that it's probably time for her to get her hair colored again because you can see her roots showing. So those are the kinds of things that we're seeing. And so what you'll see if you look at this next slide is you're going to see that people are migrating from web to print, serving the B2B and B2C markets, to what I categorize as web to everything. And a lot of the tools that are out there not only let you generate a direct mailer, generate email blast, but they also let you do SMS texting and a number of other automated trigger-based campaigns. Let's spend just a minute talking about how the market evolved. Initially, and I know Pam will talk a bit about this, initially what happened is that web-to-print tools streamline operational efficiency for print service providers. And what happened is it made it a lot easier for these companies to facilitate and get into and streamline order entry for repeat jobs. It was the simpler things, the business cards, stationery, letterhead, brochures. Because I was doing it online, I got better cash flow. I reduced my service costs. And, in fact, in an e-commerce strategies for B2B sales and marketing report, research was cited that said that the cost of a web self-service session is less than a dollar compared to $10 for 3 mail responses or $33 for a telephone call. Now, that's what we categorize as savings. Now, what you saw is a number of people that built out automation and efficiency sites for both SMBs and corporate clients. One example is a company called PS Print, who has what I'll categorize as a great small and medium business portal where I can order everything from brochures to letterhead and stationery. You're also seeing companies that built out portals for corporate clients. In this example, there's an image of Yankee Candle, who has their on-demand collateral center. And I like the spelling on center. But we saw companies, and this is another good example, like Arizona State University, where what they did is they built out simple applications They started very, very easily and use something as simple as a business card to get their portal up and running. It meant that I could open up and offer new services, whether I was an implant or I was a print service provider, to reach that end-user constituency. And Kathy Skoglund at ASU put this site up to really do a good job at building visibility and presence with the constituency, her end-user departments. I think probably in the portal side of the market, one of the most dominant examples, which I mentioned earlier, is Vistaprint. And for those of you that reflect back on how Vistaprint started, they started with business cards. And I think we all remember that what Vistaprint did is they gave somebody who passed out their Vistaprint business card, they gave them 150 business cards free and got into one of the best viral marketing campaigns I've seen in a long time. When you look at Vistaprint, they reported their Q1 2011 earnings last October. They haven't reported yet for Q2. Revenue for the first quarter of their fiscal 2011 grew to $170.5 million. It was an 18% increase quarter over quarter. What's even more interesting when you look at streamlining operations is that the gross margin was 63.1%. It's pretty powerful. Now, the next step in the market evolution was that a lot of companies worked to make sure that they did a good job at helping their clients with supply chain management. And what they did is they actually set up e-stores. Those e-stores provided an ordering portal where end users had access and could order from their catalog of on-demand items that were either inventoried or customizable collateral products. The user had a rights management system, and end users only had access to the collateral products that were important to them. Basically, what happened is with a lot of the catalog systems, each user experience was customized. When modifying the collateral or launching direct marketing campaigns, a user's personal information could be incorporated, and you could actually control access to the materials that were physically available to them. What you saw is that these integrated e-commerce sites also had support for credit cards, P-cards, spending accounts, as well as purchase orders, and that they could be submitted directly or they could be entered into an optional purchase approval workflow. We also saw in a number of instances that people could integrate these with a number of different procurement management systems, including Oracle Exchange and SAP. So that was the next major phase in the market evolution. This next slide just has a simple example of how people can set up a catalog so that I can order materials in terms of remote locations. I could be a remote branch of a bank, a remote sales rep. And so that was the next level that we saw in terms of the market. The other thing we saw was that the web became an enabler for opening up totally new markets. Think about what's gone on with the photo book market, with greeting cards, calendars, self-publishing, and scrapbooks. And you're seeing a number of companies that emerged and built total business models around web-based customized solutions. It could be anything from a yearbook to a sports card manufacturing capability. You could do photo merchandise for fundraisers. I have companies that do travel books for cruise lines that I work with. People are supporting enthusiasm groups like the motorcycle or the Harley-Davidson group and conferences and events. So there's totally different new business models, again, all of which are web-enabled. The next major component that we saw emerge was one-to-one marketing, and it started out with simple template-driven applications. They could be very simple to more complex. And what happened is the tools let the print service provider produce marketing collaterals that incorporated customer prospect data all the way through to, by the way, very, very highly personalized messaging. The tools are available via servers, desktop, or what we're seeing, as I indicated earlier, is cloud-based solutions for both design and output of targeted variable data print streams. So that was the next major component. And we saw some real interesting applications. This happens to be an application that was done by Trek Cross Media, and I think it's kind of an interesting one. It's a campaign that was created for Wolverine Shoes, a popular hiking boot. And what Wolverine wanted to do is promote shoe sales through one of their retail channel stores. What they did is they created a direct mail postcard, and it was personalized with the recipient's name as well as a personalized map to the closest retail outlet. They actually wrote some scripts for this, and it automatically mapped the recipient's address and passed it to Google Maps, where it created that personalized map to the nearest store. What happened, though, in addition, and I thought it was very clever use of personalization, was that they actually then translated that distance to the number of steps required to walk to the closest store. The next leg in this evolution is really enriching the marketing experience with cross-media solutions, and those span web, email, and mobile communications. If you look at today's preferred channels for communications, you've got new consumer behaviors. Marketers really want to use print and new media effectively to reach customers with those targeted one-to-one communications. What we're seeing are tool sets that allow you to expand your business and capitalize on the growth in the cross-media market. From a marketing perspective, implementing these cross-media campaigns lets them reach consumers across print and digital media channels with consistent messages. Because you've got web-based tools, typically what you're doing is you're ensuring that you've got consistency in branding across all those channels, which is important to that marketer. The other piece that you've got is you've got consistency in presentation, timeliness, and you're really doing a good job measuring and monitoring the interactivity and the data integrity across those channels. And finally, what you're seeing is that these tool sets not only let you leverage cross-media, but they also give you the ability to track results. And that means that you can clearly articulate return on investment for the customers. You can help them actually understand which marketing tools are working most efficiently and effectively, and you can do it real time so that if they want to, they can change those messages, offers, or what they're communicating because they've got that real-time campaign dashboard. Now, if you think about it, what I tell folks is I make this sound maybe a bit simple. Tom Hanks, American actor and producer that I think we're all familiar with, said, you know, if it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. And in the survey that InfoTrends did on e-enablement, I will tell you that it's not that easy, and Tom Hanks had it right. But the tools are getting simpler, and the opportunities are more easily addressed by more affordable solutions. When we asked what the challenges were that confronted companies on e-enablement, the first was cost of introduction. I will tell you that the vendors are working to address that. The second was linking and integrating external and internal production workflow. Again, what we're seeing are software development toolkits that are simplifying that process. It was clearly the IT skills, educating customers, sales and marketing skills, and skills in digital production printing technology. The big thing I think that people looked at is it does require investment. Our view is that over the last 12 months, the investment level has gone down, and we'll recalibrate that this year. But what companies told us was that the mean spend to get into the e-enablement game was about $38,000 initially, and annually it was about $24,000 to maintain that. I will tell you that what we are seeing as we deal with print service providers is that people are stepping up to the plate to address the challenges. We'll test this with Pam in just a minute, but what we found is that the print service providers that are very successful in the market have figured out how to extract value and appropriately charge for the value added associated with e-enablement. They've done that and hence have been able to justify their investment. They are doing a good job at integrating with internal and external systems, and they've invested in the right resources to do that. And they're addressing the skill set gaps for implementation. They're either doing it with internal resources or they're using software as a service model. And with that, what I'm going to do is I am going to turn it over to Pam Young. And Pam is Director of E-Commerce and Web to Print at FP Horak. And again, we'll be taking your questions throughout the course of the next 20 to 25 minutes. Go ahead, Pam. Take it away.
Thank you, Barb. Hello, everyone. I want to tell you a little bit about our company today, how we got into web to print, and how it's impacted us as a company and impacted our clients. I really like the phrase that Barb uses, web to everything, because that's really where we are today. It doesn't matter if we produce something in-house or not. We're able to have that all on a digital storefront, and we're still controlling that purchasing application. FP Horak is a family-owned business. Our owner has always stayed on the bleeding or leading edge of technology, but he never loses sight of what has built the company. He has and will continue to modify old equipment to accommodate new products or alternate ways of producing products, and you'll see that in the next slide. We have two facilities. The downtown plant contains our rotary and commercial printing, while the newer digital imaging center houses the creative department, the e-commerce staff, and all of the digital print warehousing fulfillment services. We have approximately seven different rotary presses. They're traditional form presses, which have been converted to run certain commercial work. These are not necessarily commercial webs, but they are black and white and color rotary presses with UV curing capabilities. And I just want everybody to know that with the digital storefront, we are able to serve all of our different web presses, commercial presses, all of our different entities within the organization through the digital storefronts. Our commercial printing facility, we recently purchased a Heidelberg XL75, which is it's a 23 by 27 press. It's a 6-color with a coder. And I get a lot of questions like, why are you purchasing a new commercial press? You know, everything's going digital. But the answer is simple. We really needed to be more competitive in that market. We either needed to do that or get out of that market because we had some older technology that really wasn't getting us where we needed to be today.
Hey, Pam, I have a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at some of your offset technology that you're using, do you take jobs in over the Internet that you ultimately actually direct to an offset press?
Absolutely.
And what are the average run lengths on those? Could they be very long run lengths, or are some of them based on setup times on some of the offset technology shorter runs?
You know, definitely the longer runs for certain marketing materials, but also when we start getting into maybe some forms for some of our clients, as well as different types of envelopes for the rotary presses, that's kind of where that comes in.
Okay.
So, and because of the way we're able to build the catalog, at every quantity that I want to offer my client, I tell it where or what dashboard, what supplier, who's going to be processing that item. So for smaller run items, they can go to our digital center, and for the larger runs, I can direct them to automatically go to the commercial plant for production.
Great. Thanks.
So the new press it's very good on the make-ready runs, and it really has increased profitability. Again, you know, you're getting more sheets an hour, and the make-ready's 10% of what they used to be, and we are seeing about 2/3 less paper consumption with that new press. So that's huge for us. The Digital Imaging Center has more than doubled in size and revenue in the past 5 years. Obviously, being in Michigan, we took a harder hit in 2009 than a lot of folks, and the beginning of 2010 was a struggle. But because we as a company were diversified and able to adapt quickly, we stayed in the game and prospered. The number of web-enabled orders is also more than double the traditional offline jobs that come into the digital imaging center. 70% of all jobs coming here to the DIC are from our printable digital storefronts. I mean, that's huge for us.
What number would that, how many jobs would you process in a day or a month that come in over the Internet?
I have, let me grab this sheet. I have a breakdown by month, and we're talking 1,500 orders per month average, I guess, coming through the portal. But that's just for, keep in mind, that's just for color and black and white printing.
Wow. Okay. What would be your average turnaround time for those for a client then?
3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't include pick and pack inventory. It doesn't include jobs going to the main plant.
Okay, great.
We've got different entities, and so everything's kind of broken apart here.
Okay.
But this increase has been a steady trend since probably 2003 or 2004 when we really started getting traction with the digital storefronts. An interesting note that even though the amount of web-enabled orders is a growing number, the number of impressions are on the decline. We are seeing more targeted media, and that obviously requires less volume. That said, we are doing more cross-media campaigns, which also drives revenue for the Digital Imaging Center, and these typically have higher margins than the storefront jobs. Because remember, we're able to put on the storefront the routinely ordered items, and we build all of the pre- and the post-press information and data into the system, and it's only done once. So we're able to, be much more competitive with those types of items. We have a warehouse facility that's here at the Digital Imaging Center as well, and that facility is approximately 30,000 square feet plus some additional locked security space for certain documents. This is a separate entity from the Digital Imaging Center, even though it's housed within our walls here. We also serve the warehouse with pick-and-pack orders via the storefront, which account for about 70% of those or their orders. We have an integration from the storefront to a separate inventory management system, which obviously streamlines workflow and increases efficiencies. In 2010, we processed over 33,000 releases from the storefront to the warehouse. And now for the real passion, the e-commerce capabilities. We started out with a need for a web-based ordering system for Dow Corning, which contained only inventory in the beginning. Dow Corning needed to consolidate a couple small warehouses. They needed to eliminate their fax service system and have one repository for their product data sheets. They were really exposed with different versions available in the different systems and locations. At that time, in 1999, Calabria was the only solution available, and we went live on January 17th with the beta version on a day that the staff had off. As crazy as that sounds, it worked beautifully and has grown to over 52 digital storefronts containing inventory, print-on-demand, version, variable applications, you name it, and I can put it on here. Horak hired me to head this division with the support and the mandate that this is how we're going to do business. Printable Technologies picked up the application in 2001, and we've been off to the races ever since. When I say true supply chain, I mean we have the ability to create and manage everything with the tools that Printable has developed over the years. We have the web portal for our clients, Marcom Central for managing, and the dashboards for processing the orders and housing all the pre- and post-print production functions. I'm often asked, if I were to choose, would I choose Printable again today? And the answer is absolutely. They have everything that we need. Again, that web portal for our clients, the management, and the production functions all streamlined. They really
Hey, Pam, I got a couple questions here, and let me address. Somebody asked, and just to give people a couple of perspectives. One of the ones was, what are some of the tools out there? There are a number of tools. I have clients that use them in, Pam is using Printable, EFI has something called Digital Storefront. There are very simple tools like My Order Desk from PageCap Technologies. It cuts across the gamut. I will tell you, and I'm just going to point people to something that's a free resource. There's a InfoTrends Ultimate Guide online that actually is accessible through Printing Impressions magazine. You can go there and you can see what the tools are and get a rough comparison both in terms of cost and functionality. And just log into the Ultimate Guide online, and you can do that and look at several subsections at no cost via Printing Impressions magazine. Now, the other question that I've got for you is, when you take a look at processing orders, what types of orders are you dealing with, and how do you minimize prep time? And could you give a couple of examples of the types of orders that you're dealing with, Pam?
Sure. I mean, we do everything from business cards to, marketing materials, envelopes. I mean, we do the whole gamut. And really, my next slide kind of talks about how we're doing that. So I'm going to switch over to that quickly.
Great.
In the beginning, all of the orders were manually processed in that dashboard. So when a job hits the dashboard after the user clicks the finish button, someone would have to manually log in and go, okay, I want to create an imposition, because when we build an item, we build the imposition, we tell it what the job ticket production specs are, and we only have to do that one time. So we have, at one time, probably I had 14, 16 different people pulling and processing different types of orders, depending on if it were pick and pack, if it were for the digital imaging center, or for the commercial plant. That said, they would have to manually click through this dashboard, and that really became a huge issue consumer for the folks that were processing these orders. So that really became the bottleneck. We had all these orders stacking up, and it would just take hours and hours to create these job tickets and then download. So we really needed to automate and integrate. And so by automating that whole production process within the dashboard and integrating it to our digital presses, when our clients click the finish button in their web portal, it can actually be at my press in 90 seconds. It's imposed, it's ripped, and my press operators have a job ticket in front of them that has all the specs, everything's right there, and they just print and release.
Now, let me ask you a little different. When you look at the staffing, because this sounds relatively complicated, and I'm going to ask, because you've really advanced quite a bit, but what level of programming resource do you have available? And then if I were just getting into web to print using a software as a service model like Printable, what level of resource do you think it would take? So let me start with, what level of programming capability do you have at FP Horak today?
There are two of us that primarily build all of this, and we have really no programming background. We've got prepress background. That's it. So as far as the integration to some of our presses, the manufacturers help us with that, and it's really pretty simple.
How about any integration with client systems?
With that, there are certain web service calls that are pretty generic, and we've got several front ends that we've integrated with, and even like Monarch Hagen, we've got an integration with that. So it's just using these simple web service calls between Printable and whatever application it is, whether it's SAP or Oracle or whatever. There are certain standards out there for passing that data back and forth, and that's been relatively easy to do, and we really haven't had to hire or get programmers in to even work on that.
Okay. Great, thanks.
It's almost out of the box today.
Okay, good. Thanks, Pam.
But this slide, when I was putting this all together, this slide really is probably one of the most important ones because, you know, as Barb says, you're going to identify what your needs are as a print provider, what your client needs are, and there's a lot of different providers of e-commerce services out there, and you have to decide which one's going to work for you. This works for us because it's got the whole production process built into it. But that said, we needed to automate internally our workflow because that became a huge bottleneck. And then the bottleneck went to order entry. But by us integrating with Monarch or Hagen, we have eliminated that bottleneck as well. So it's kind of chasing a moving target, but we're pretty happy with this integration, and like I said, it's really streamlined what we're doing internally, and it's eliminated 80 hours in post-production time. So instead of someone having to manually go to that dashboard and close out a job, we're able to do that through this integration, and we're saving, you know, really two employees a week by doing that. The impact of changes, our approach to gaining business has primarily been through what we call print resource management. Remember, we kind of came from that forms, that was our core competency when we first started out in business. As everyone knows, that's now the supply chain management. We would present clients with a program approach for their internal and external communication collateral. That program consists of an analysis of all their prior print, understanding how it's used or distributed, and knowing that we can streamline the order and production processes. And by doing that, we're able to cut their print spend over the prior years while streamlining their procurement processes. So this has served us very well. But, you know, not to sit on our laurels, we knew that we needed to get to the marketing people as well, and that was something that was eluding us as a company. 2 years ago, we hired a sales consultant out of the ad agency world who could speak in marketing terms instead of, you know, from a print point of view. So this is a rapidly growing area of our business. He is creating ongoing cross-media programs within vertical markets that utilize our creative department, our variable data programmers, print, production, mailing services, and this also dovetails us into, you know, digital storefronts with these clients as the services and the response grows. So how do you make change happen? You really have to change your sales reps into consultants. And I say by webifying the print that you can webify. So this will free up the sales rep to become more strategic with their client. This has been key to our success and allowed us to be more diversified with the needs of our clients. Remember, we came out of that forms industry, and that certainly isn't where we are today. When I was asked to explain how we market our technology, I was horrified because we don't. We market our products and our services. The storefronts or the web to print is just a means to an end. It really fits into a broader context of developing a strategic marketing campaign. I've got a couple of examples that we've done on this slide, and we have been able to recognize some pretty good returns. The first thing we did was probably 7 years ago, and that was the game boards. It was this kind of all-in-one game board, and we sent that out to prospects as a warm-up or an awareness, and we sent out with a traditional printed flyer saying what we had to offer. I mean, it was typical old-school print marketing, and but it was an awareness. But when we purchased cross-media technology in about 2006, 2007, in our marketing approach, we changed our strategy. We used the technology to illustrate the capabilities as well as used it for a warm-up with our prospects. So as you can see from the slide, we had 11 mailings totaling 1,132 eight balls. Remember the magic eight balls? We sent that out with personal URLs asking the question, do you consult the eight ball when making your marketing decisions? And we got overwhelming response, 28% response rate. That resulted in 86 meetings, 30 new clients, and 5 new storefronts. So we're very, very proud of that campaign.
That's a great one, Pam.
The best part, I guess, is the web-to-print portals, you know, feed everything in our organization, rotary, commercial, digital presses, inventory releases, and specialty orders and office supplies. It's more than just orders to a press. It's a whole way of doing business. And as Barb said earlier, you know, it's web to everything. And just as a post note, we do have a strategy for marketing our digital storefronts. It should be ready for release this spring. And that's a whole new approach for us. And there's a lot of cooks in that kitchen right now, so it's been delayed till the spring. I want to share with you the Dow Corning case study. We've done several case studies over the years with them because we've driven so much savings for them and for us. But I think you realize that as the technology has evolved, so have the product offerings for us. From the transition from inventory to print on demand. I mean, we've been in this for 11 years now. So we really started out, that was our core competency, was that inventory. I mean, that was our first storefront, and obviously that's not where we are today with just inventory releases. We've also built a Documentum integration on the front end of our storefront with Dow Corning. From within the Dow Corning firewall, users can access their repository of documents. They can download, email, and print locally. But if they need more than a few copies, they can click order, and the shopping cart comes over to our storefront. And then based on the item and the destination of that order, the orders are either fulfilled here in Michigan or they're automatically routed to Europe for pick and pack or print on demand and distribution. So we've saved time to market, freight costs, and eliminated border customs for packages that require a quick turnaround. One quick stat I want to throw out there, too. When we instituted the digital storefront with Dow Corning, we went to a monthly summary invoice. With them, and they've come back to us and said, this is terrific, and we just want you guys to know that you've saved our accounting department, on average, $82,000 a year. So just as an awareness, there's a lot of different ways that you can provide savings to the client with little or no investment on your own. Ingredients for success, all I can say about this is from my experience, is that you have to have a top-down commitment and patience within your organization. You know, you also need that internal champion who's allowed to implement the change within the organization. I don't think that's quite as big of an issue as it may have been maybe 5 years ago, but again, that's from my experience and what we have lived through. Strategy going forward is where we're really putting our efforts. We have a team assembled that's worked through what started out as defining a BHAG, you know, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And that there is no BHAG yet, but what that really has helped us is to set attainable monthly and quarterly goals. Web-to-print orders and revenue increases is our number one key initiative. Our company has seen steady and continued growth over the years with web orders. We've been able to streamline our processes, and it's allowed us to keep us very competitive in the marketplace. The best part may be that the storefronts are really the glue. We've integrated into our clients' processes, and that translates in part to customer loyalty that we've experienced. There are a lot of companies that can provide print or inventory services, but when you're part of the client's procurement process, it's really hard for them to go anywhere else. As far as recommendations and conclusions, going forward, you really just need to do that in-depth analysis of your needs and pick that partner who can provide the total supply chain for what those needs are. You know, client portals, production processes that you can automate and integrate. Those are the two key pieces today, automate and integrate. I mean, you can have a web portal out there, but if you're not able to automate your internal processes as well, you're not going to be able to really see all the benefits that are available there, you know, and partner with a provider, you know, that will grow with you. So that's what I've got. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, thank you, Pam. That was great, and I think gave everybody tremendous insight. I did have one question that I'm going to wrap up that I did want to respond to. Somebody asked if web to print was important on the implant or internal market side, and the answer is it's of equal importance both for implants as well as commercial printers. It is a way for you to drive the value that you deliver to your constituency, which is your end user departments. And those end user departments clearly need, and you want to build visibility so that they can access your print shop from any place around the company and have a great storefront catalog as well as offer variable data support. Now, I'm going to just wrap up with a couple of quick comments. And the first one is that I think from Pam you can figure out pretty easily that e-enablement is not the future of the graphic communications. It's here today, and it's going to continue to increase in both power and robustness. If you take away any messages from today's session, I would tell you that the value proposition for web to print is extraordinarily high. First of all, it's a way to automate business processes and provide basically super efficiency for both your business, but of equal importance for your customers. It's the key to effective utilization of procurement networks and print supply chain management, and I think Pam did a great job at articulating what they were doing for Dow Corning. It's a critical step, and I believe the first step, in transitioning from a traditional print service provider into a marketing service provider. It's a way, and Pam did a great job of saying, hey, you know, you can print in Europe if you want using our web-based network. It's a way of delivering affordable global access to customers for your business. And it's a launching pad when you look at things like photo books and scrapbooking and serving travel companies with and cruise lines with photo books and a number of other things. It's a launching pad for participation in new market niches. And so what I tell folks is web to print is also becoming web to everything. And so I'm going to leave you with just one quick set of recommendations, which is if you haven't gotten in the e-enablement game, I hope it's not too late, and you better get out there and figure out how you're going to catch up quickly. You want to define e-enabled applications that benefit your organization from order entry to production efficiencies to getting into some of the multi-channel communications capabilities. You're going to need to evaluate software solutions, and I had somebody ask me for the link, and I will have to the Ultimate Guides Online, I will have Matt Reese, one of my colleagues, send those out to anybody who wants the links where you can look at and contrast and compare tools. But you need to look at the software solutions and make sure, and Pam said this well, that whatever you pick is modular, because once you get into the e-enablement game, your business is going to grow, and you want to have modular options that grow with your business. You need to be prepared to invest not just in software and infrastructure, but in making sure that you've got the right skills to drive change. And Pam said you have to be prepared to change. One of the things that she did say was that we had to convince and educate our salespeople on the value proposition associated with those. They become absolutely critical, as do your customer service organizations. And last but not least, you've got to educate your buyers on the efficiencies and the benefits associated with your ability to web-enable solutions. And so with that, what I would like to do is I would like to thank everyone for their time and attention and for joining us today. Again, you can look at and go to the URL and download this for further information. But I'd like to thank everybody for joining us, and hopefully you enjoyed the comments and the discussion today, and I'd like to especially thank Pam. Have a great rest of the day, and again, thanks for joining us.